Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from the University of Central Florida, offering their Master's of Science in Data Analytics program. Designed to enhance skills in data analysis and machine learning, the new Artificial Intelligence track offers specialized courses to deepen understanding of AI technologies and their applications. More at ce.ucf.edu/data.
This is Spotlight, Central Florida Public Media's arts, culture, and entertainment segment. I'm Nicole Darden Creston. The Spotlight is on now. A new play from a Central Florida playwright examines trauma, grief, and recovery through the eyes of a survivor of the Pulse nightclub shooting. On June 12, 2016, 10 years ago this week, a gunman killed 49 people and injured dozens more during a three-hour early morning standoff at the LGBTQ nightclub south of downtown Orlando. Lives were changed forever, and a community, in many ways, still grapples with the aftermath of that tragedy. So writing a play featuring a Pulse survivor, even a fictionalized character as this one is, could be fraught, even controversial. Many people have strong feelings about how Pulse should be remembered. But playwright James Chip Byers is clear that his two-person play, The World May Be Flat, does not reenact the night or focus unwanted attention on real people. In fact, the play, premiering Sunday at the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts, is set now, 10 years after the tragedy. It examines how survivors of trauma each struggle with finding a path forward while healing in the sometimes unforgiving glare of the public eye. Byers is a longtime disability advocate and a state-appointed disability consultant for cultural accessibility who has studied playwriting in New York. He says the play was inspired by recent conversations with friends who are Pulse survivors.
Two of my friends were at Pulse the night of the shooting, and at first I was shocked by the news, and I was heartbroken. I checked in with my friends, and I told them that, you know, I would be there for them, and that whatever they needed, we would help them get through this together. And, you know, the whole community came together to support them, and that lasted about a month. And at some point, I kind of moved on and decided that everyone would be fine, and that it was in the past, and fast forward to, say, 2022, one of those friends reached out to me and told me that I really hadn't been okay since the shooting. And it took me by surprise, not surprise necessarily, but I did not realize the emotional trauma that they were carrying because I had moved on and I realized I failed in what I said I was going to do.
I feel like, not that you failed, but it's just something that's much more difficult to move on from if it happened to you. But we don't really have a reference for that so much if we weren't there.
We can say I failed. I'm not too proud to admit that. I make mistakes, but I did not realize the pressure that we were putting on the survivors as well. For one example, a lot of what I was doing, thinking that I was supporting Pulse, all these tributes and memorials that we, you know, would bring out once a year, that would paint the survivors as these heroes and strong members of the LGBTQ plus community who are, you know, supposed to represent strength and resilience. And that is a horrible place to put these people who they're not allowed to process their trauma. They're not allowed to feel grief. They need to be strong and they need to be grateful that they survived. And we were putting that pressure on them, thinking I was helping them.
Grieving and surviving trauma is difficult, messy, and nonlinear. But that is hard for us to see if we haven't been through that trauma. There are different ways that people view the memorialization or how we should memorialize or how we should mark or commemorate or remember Pulse. Talk to me about the conflicting views and how you address that in your play.
Yeah. So, I mean, in talking about how to memorialize Pulse, it is very conflicted. There are so many different stakeholders with so many completely contradictory points of view, each one of them completely valid in their own way. There are those who say we just need a quiet park to memorialize the victims. Then there are those who say, no, we need something loud to show the joy that Pulse once was and what it meant to the community and how we won't be stopped. then there's those who want something huge and grand and national in scale to, you know, show the importance of what happened here. There's people who think it needs to be a teaching moment to ensure that homophobia does not exist in the next generation. And then there's others still who feel that it's desecrating to put a political message on a memorial. And each of them are right. The problem is you can't pick one over the other because these are all true to different people.
And so the characters in your play, one of them, Noah, is a character who was at Pulse, but the character isn't based on a person's testimony or a person's actual note-by-note experience, right?
Yes. So, I mean, I was definitely influenced by three Pulse survivors who I had spoken with. And I was definitely influenced, but no, it was not any of them by design because I was not trying to make a reenactment. I'm not trying to use any real past victims or past survivors. We're not trying to exploit the event here. We are trying to, you know, have some separation between the tragedy and the theatrical work because the point of this is a vehicle to process trauma and move forward. Not to sell the tragedy for, you know, commoditize it or whatever.
And how do we move forward? I think that question is asked in your play. There's not one answer, but tell me about the exploration of the question, how do we move forward after this trauma?
So, I mean, that is a central theme in the play. Do we, you know, move forward, accept that this happened and just try to be better in the future? Or does part of us stay behind and always live at Pulse and keep that memory and existence alive forever? And the answer is going to be different depending on who you ask. And again, both are completely valid answers. One of the reasons I chose to do a play is I could present both of those answers at the same time, and the audience is able to hold those conflicting viewpoints at once, which is something very unique about theater. I'm a graduate student in cultural heritage management at Johns Hopkins. And what I do is I study particularly how to tell difficult and contested histories in a responsible and ethical way, which is a lot more complicated than people think. People don't necessarily realize how much goes into presenting history in a way that is ethical and responsible to the communities affected. Now, the traditional methods of museum or historical marker, I love all those. But what I love about the theater is you don't need to have an answer. You can promote and showcase, I guess is a better word, two conflicting opinions at once. And the audience is able to hold both truths at once without wondering which one is right. Both can be true in the theater, which is why this felt like the ideal medium to explore this topic.
Talk a little bit about the two characters that represent two of these ways forward, Noah and Jagger.
Yeah, there were so many different opinions about Pulse. When I was crafting the characters, I decided to lean into the opposites and embrace the contradicting opinions. We have Jagger with intellect and pragmatism and a desire to solve problems and move forward and to look into research. Meanwhile, on the other hand, we have Noah, emotion and trauma and creativity. And basically, I took these two archetypes and divided up almost into the extremes about the different ways people look at memorialization and how to move forward from tragedy. You could look at the whole play as an argument between the two, but it's not an argument. It's about balance. It's about them staying in tension. It's about saying we need both interpretations in order to maintain balance and to tell the full story. So it's not that, oh, which one is right? The answer is they both are and they both need to be, or else the whole thing falls apart.
If people are still feeling grief, which is perfectly understandable, whether it be from Pulse or from another traumatic experience, is there anything that they can take away from this play?
I'll be honest, I don't believe anyone's going to walk away from the play feeling better. But what I think is they will walk away feeling seen and feeling that they're allowed to be imperfect. they're allowed to have short tempers. They're allowed to be miserable. They're allowed to occasionally act inappropriately because they just can't control what's inside of them. Because that is the truth of living with long-term trauma. And hopefully it shows survivors that you're not alone. We've canonized you as these, you know, saints up here, and you're not. And that's not a bad thing. You are humans and you are allowed to be human, and you should be. So I hope what they get out of this play is that, one, they are allowed to be themselves and allowed to be imperfect. Two, that they realize that they're not alone in the trauma that they are feeling. And I guess three, I would hope that they see that the people who have been fighting with them over it should be done this way or it should be done that way, they're only fighting because they care so much. We're not each other's enemies here. It certainly seems like it at times, but we are all in this together. And the only reason there's all these different viewpoints with so much passion is because we all care so deeply.
Now, you've set this in the present, 10 years past the shooting, so literally in present day. Why?
Well, the show is going to be performed this weekend, so I did want the show to be a current reflection of the process. I said, Pulse isn't something that happened 10 years ago. It is something that we are still living with today. It was not a one-day event. This has shaped so many lives. And quite frankly, it shaped so much of Florida politics and culture. And it continues to do so. It's still early in the week. By the end of the week, there will probably be some new LGBT cultural issue happening in Florida. And that will shape how the audience views the play and how the actors portray the characters. It is a living piece because the story is continuing.
That was Chip Byers, Orlando disability advocate and playwright of The World May Be Flat. I'm Nicole Darden-Creston. Thanks for listening to Spotlight.